Gail Culp is joining us. She is the DFL-endorsed candidate. She is going to be taking on Mary Franson in November, and she's kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign. Hi, Gail. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Of course, let's find out, first of all, who is Gail Culp?
Well, Gail Culp is a homegrown product born here in Alexandria and spent about two-thirds of my life in Minnesota as a resident. And the other third I spent as a mother and worker in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay. So, and, you know, two lovely places, actually, I will say that. But it's good to have you back here in Minnesota. When did you guys move back to Minnesota? How many years ago?
In 2000.
All right. Well, and it's hard to leave once you come back. It's just a lovely state. I love it here.
Well, we came back to help my mom. She was getting older, and she needed somebody nearby, and she wasn't going to move, so we did.
Well, good for you. And I'm glad you're here. And let's, you know, one day you woke up. What made you say, you know what, I'm going to run for House Seat 8B?
Well, I think it was probably because I watched how the legislature just frittered away their time and didn't accomplish anything. And they pretended, I mean, they were very busy having meetings, but things weren't getting done. Everything got left till the last minute. And, you know, and then it was some secret. Oh, dear, I've got a call coming in. Where's that from? Glad I'm on the home phone, right? Anyway, that was the thing. I couldn't figure out why in the world people would go to office and then not do the things that they said they were going to do.
There is a, and this is not just Mary Franson, the Republican Party as a whole, their dishonesty on this level, the way that they don't have any intent of really doing anything until the last second, where at the last second, these bills that have never seen the light of day, that have been written by lobbyists, that have been written by people out of the state, have been pushed through by Kurt Dowd. And what Kurt Dowd demands from Mary Franson and every Republican is a lapdog yes vote when they say so. We saw that numerous times when they said the hands-free phone bill. That they put on out there, and the fact that all Republicans voted against it because Kurt Dowd told them to vote against it. You know, it's stuff like that. I mean, that's ineffective government that's just failing the constituents that have elected these people to go there. You didn't vote for Mary Franson just to basically be a rubber stamp for Kurt Dowd.
Well, even worse, Matt, she won't meet with her constituents unless they vote for her or agree with her.
Oh, that's common in those Republicans, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it was very obvious in December when she refused to meet with the high school Dems here in Alexandria. Her constituents, ready to vote this year, and she didn't have time for them.
When you're on the ground there, because, I mean, Mary Franson is, of course, a lot of people in the metro area know exactly who Mary is. I mean, she's been an embarrassment, frankly. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And she said some in wildly inappropriate things. She accused hungry people of being wild animals. She has been a pretty major embarrassment to the state of Minnesota. You know, how is she perceived, though, on the ground there? Because, once again, we see these stories and we kind of get the sensationalism out of it. Do the people there, I mean, those races have been closed, and this is supposed to be a pretty safe Republican district, but Mary Franson has a few times just escaped by the skin of her teeth. And it almost kind of makes me wonder, you know, do most of the people you feel in 8B feel they're getting a good result with Mary Franson?
I would say most of the people don't even pay any attention. That's the problem. If they paid any attention, they'd know they weren't getting much for their dollar. And it's, I mean, she's the second highest spender when it came to their expense accounts for 2017. Second highest spender in the Minnesota House. She lives 143 miles from St. Paul. The only committee that she chairs is the Subcommittee on Child Care Access and Affordability, and the only meeting minutes that I've noticed anything of on the website, all those meetings were held in St. Paul, and they were held during legislative sessions. So I don't know what, you know, where all these expenses are coming from, but there's 13 other cities that are over 200 miles from St. Paul, yet she is the second highest spender.
I think that should be looked into, for goodness sakes. We shouldn't.
I think it's appalling.
It absolutely is, and it's just, once again, another example of the broken system. When Republicans get in charge, it's about themselves. It's not about the constituents. Of course, 8B represents Alexandria, Carlos, Nelson, seven other townships, Eastern Dougland County, Deer Creek, Henning, New York Mills, Ottertail, 26 townships in Eastern Ottertail County as well. What do you, if you go into the House, and we'd love to have you there, I think you've got a good chance at knocking out Mary Franson. If you go to St. Paul, what would you like to deliver for 8B?
Well, the thing I hear most when I knock on doors is people are struggling with health care. So that's the thing that we were promised they were going to fix. You know, it was all the problem. MNsure was the problem. And they were going to fix that. Turns out their fix this year was $800 million to go to the insurance companies so that they might lower some of their premium charges. We'll wait and see how that turns out. I'm not holding my breath. That's one thing. The other thing that we need to take a look at is making sure that our education and child care options are the best that we can provide for the people, for the children and their families here in Minnesota. We know through the research, and there's an article in the Tribune that talks about it, every dollar spent on early childhood education has the propensity or the possibility of saving taxpayers $16. 16-to-1 investment. Who wouldn't take that? The Republicans.
Well, and you mentioned that that's her committee, and she's not delivered on that promise of cheaper and better health care and child care options as well for children in the state. She, you know, Mary Franson has not delivered on that.
No, and her idea of options is, I think, to use vouchers so that families can send their children to parochial schools, and I'm opposed to that. Public education is where we level the playing field. Give everybody the opportunity to succeed by giving them the best education they are able to achieve and retain.
And basically, all the voucher systems do is take taxpayer dollars out and give it to private individuals.
Exactly.
And that's a bad case. I will say, too, there is a solution here. And I know at outstate schools, they've got a very legitimate gripe about the funding situation. And, you know, it from what I've read about this is something that could be fixed pretty relatively easily by setting standards for districts and stuff that the state will help come in and help fund these issues. So it's kind of a twofold process. Not only is she trying to ship taxpayer dollars off to private entities, but there is an easy solution here that the Republicans just refuse to do because it's almost like they'd rather have the schools having financial problems so that they can try to take that taxpayer money to give it to private businesses versus actually fixing the system. We can fix the funding system for outstate Minnesota schools. It just needs to be done, and the Republicans are just not doing it.
Exactly. And they always talk about, well, you know, it's all about priorities. And I'm going, yes, exactly. Let's get our priorities straight. Let's make sure we're making decisions that are going to improve the lives of people in Minnesota, and for me, especially the people here in 8B.
One of the things I've talked to some of the people who are running for outstate seats a little bit is this trade issue, because obviously there's a lot of bravado coming from our current president, who is also a Republican, and it is putting a lot of fear into farmers, and particularly the soybeans and the pork industry, currently here in Minnesota, especially in western Minnesota. Have you talked to people down there that are concerned at all about this? Because, I mean, this is a real threat that we could end up, I mean, China, Mexico, these are some of our, Canada, they're some of our largest trade partners on some of these crops and some of these, and on pork. And right now it looks like we're going to have a tough year for an industry where the margins for these farmers is not exactly a lot of money.
Well, and even worse, the dairy farmers are really struggling, and that doesn't have anything to do with tariffs. We can't afford to lose the agricultural piece to our economy. It's central. It's not only central to our economy, it's central to our way of life out here. And I think, you know, yes, have I heard about it? Yes, I've heard about it. And I get information through the Minnesota Farmers Union organization and from the Farm Bureau organization and, of course, from the farmers right here in the district.
You talk about this impacting. Let's take it back to that first issue you brought up, which is health care. Today, yeah. The Minnesota health plans would collectively take a financial hit of $72 million. Reminder, when Donald Trump came into office, he said he was going to get cheaper health care, that was going to be better coverage. That's been a complete lie. Now he's actually taking away the funds from the federal government to subsidize these health care plans for Minnesota. $72 million, that's going to trickle down to the customer. When you talk about the dairy farmers and their margins and how tough that's been for them, pork farmers, soybean farmers, one of the real big crimes here is that we're not dealing with the health care situation, because it's stuff like this, the Republicans' failure to deliver on this, and with you're talking about the state Republicans, but on a national level as well, the farmers are the ones that are really feeling the pinch on this.
And it breaks my heart. My dad was a farmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Raised by farmers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's not right. And we do need to fix it, and we can fix it. But we just need to make sure that in this red district, that we have a blue wave. And one of the ways we're doing that is making sure that we're getting out and finding voters that are definitely going to vote for Culp. We find those that may be leaning toward Culp, and then we find those who are still undecided, and then we persuade them to vote for me, mm-hmm. because that's what's going to make the difference for them, to actually see somebody go to work and work for them.
Well, and it's so important to get into the voters' faces and point out you guys have banked everything on these people and they're not delivering for you, and at least get them thinking about this. Once again, Gail Culp is joining us. 8B is the district. It's Mary Franson's seat. We would love to take that one and turn it blue. If you would like to help, now, Gail, I'm presuming you need some volunteers. Do you have any events coming up here that you need door knockers or phone callers for?
I'll tell you what, we still are in parade season.
Ooh.
And this coming Friday, we have a parade in Henning, Minnesota, which is a nice little town up in Otter Tail County, eastern Otter Tail County. And it's pretty easy to get to, actually, from almost anywhere, except maybe northern Otter Tail County, meaning the northwestern part. There's a lot of lakes in the way. But we'll be there, and that's an evening parade on the 13th Friday. Friday the 13th, it won't be unlucky, I promise. And then on the 21st of July, we have a parade in the afternoon in Miltona. And that's about 15 miles north of Alexandria, just right off Highway 29.
And that was the 21st you said it was?
First one is Henning, and then the second one on the 21st. Is Miltona.
Miltona on the 21st. All right. So Friday, you need people up and to March Parade. What's the name of the festival the parade's for?
It's just called Henning Fest.
Okay. All righty. So
now Miltona is Tornado Days. Now that's a name for a festival.
That's a great name for a festival. All right. Well, you got Henning Fest, you got Tornado Days in Miltona. If you would like to, everyone, I want to listen out there. We need to send Democrats. Help your local Democrat by all means. But in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, there's a lot of Democrats who are relatively safe. Give them a hand, make sure you give them a donation. But what I want you to do is find 5 outstate Democrats running in Republican districts. Mary Franson's seat is one we'd love to win. You can send yourself out there, go out and enjoy the parades, do some door knocking for these candidates, help out any way you can, make a donation. This is how you make a blue wave happen. You can't just expect these things to occur on themselves. We need to get out there and give Gail as much help as possible. Gail Culp, 8B, is the district. It's GailCulp.com, correct?
Yes, sir, and you can get more information about how to contact us on the Get Involved page. Just send us an email that way so we have contact information and include what activity you are interested in, what dates you're available, and we will get back to you. We've got a Cracker Jack volunteer coordinator, and she'll be in touch.
It's GailCulp.com, GAILKULP.com. I'll link to all this later on today. Gail Culp, 8B Democrat of the Day. Gail, thank you much for the time. I really do appreciate it today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.